So I want to move probably, I don't know, we're just going to go till I'm done, and then I'll be done, and then you guys can go home. So I'm just going to precursor. I'm going to share a little bit of a few things today, probably that are more of my opinion. So please just hear that. You'll pick it up, right? But you know, there's one of Paul's letters. He actually says, this is not the Lord. This is what I think. And then Paul's this little discourse that he's like, this is what I think about this, right? He's like, it's good advice, solid advice, but it's not really from the Lord. So this is what's in this sermon. I'm blaming Paul for it. All right. There's a little bit of advice that I think is pretty good, not really scripture, but then we'll get into some scripture. Amen. So I gotta tell you guys, like, I think a lot of people think, like, as a pastor or a preacher, like, Christmas and Easter are easy because you're like, well, duh, everyone knows what you're going to talk about. But you know, for me, guys, it's hardest. It's the hardest times of year to preach. And really, what I figured out for me is it's because of what the culture has made it, right? And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And you know, I'm not like a I'm not like a bah humbug guy. You know what I mean? Like, we buy our kids Christmas presents. I'm not crazy like that. But I also tell my kids, like, look, I'd rather buy you really nice stuff on your birthday because we're celebrating you coming to Earth. Right? Like, hey, we'll get you. My kids will open Christmas presents on Friday morning, right? But look, we're not celebrating you coming to Earth on Friday. We're not celebrating you. We're celebrating Jesus. Right? Like, look, man, you want to have a Christmas tree? Cool. Christmas lights, go for it. Cool. Please hear me, man. I'm not like, if that's what you do in your family, cool. Cool. Everybody say cool. All right? Just make sure that we're not being distracted by those things. Right? A lot of debate in the church today about how much paganism has crept into this season. Don't really want to talk about that this morning, but let me just share one thing with you guys. How many people know that Jesus was not born on March 25th? Or just March 25th. December 25th. Y'all know that? He wasn't born on March 25th either. I don't know why that. I don't know where that came from. Jesus was not born on December 25th, right? Nobody really knows exactly the day he was born, but the consensus from the Jewish community is that he was born in the seventh month on the something, something, something. It's in the book of Numbers, which is Rosh Hashanah. The Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah, which is followed 10 days later by Yom Kippur, all right, which is the Day of Atonement. All right, Pastor Jim Kakuza, one of our pastors, he calls it At-One-Ment, Atonement. At-One-Ment. That is, atonement is when our sins are paid for. They're atoned, right? So the Jewish culture believes, I think I got all those dates right. Vladimir's not here to correct me, or he's not in the room here to correct me. Vladimir's a Jew who got saved. If you guys don't know Vladimir yet, he's an awesome guy. But you guys all hear me. And here's what I found interesting about Rosh Hashanah. In the Jewish culture, there's two things that they think about on Rosh Hashanah, which, again, they believe Jesus was born more like the end of July somewhere, all right? Number one. Rosh Hashanah is a time, it's a solemn time of remembering past wrongs and seeking to make amends. It's a solemn time of remembering past wrongs and seeking to make amends. And number two, it's a time of joy at the prospect of reconciliation. Everybody say reconciliation. I put something up on my Insta the other day and it says, you know, this Christmas, some families don't need to give gifts. They need to give forgiveness. They need to say, I'm sorry. They need to let bygones be bygones. Amen? It's so ridiculous, especially as Christians, that Christmas is painful. I cannot wrap my head around it. The time of year that we are supposed to be celebrating heaven invading earth, right? Light piercing the darkness. And we get hung up on the dumbest stuff. Can I get amen? Heartbreaking. So, as far as I can tell, church, I don't think it really matters in God's sight if Jesus was born on July 15th or March 3rd or December 25th. I don't think that God's really hung up with that. But what I do know is this. If Rosh Hashanah is a time that we're supposed to remember both past wrongs and seeking to make amends, right? Somehow, if I can mend, if I can make this right, I'm going to try, right? And a time of joy, the prospect of reconciliation. Shouldn't we have the same thing going on in our hearts at Christmas? Come on, man. If we're celebrating the Messiah coming to earth, shouldn't there be something in our hearts that goes, man, am I living right? But no, can't watch TV for 5 seconds without the latest, coolest stuff you got to buy. Man, anybody got iPhone 12 yet? I don't, because iPhone 13 is coming out January 9th. Y'all know that. Dude, come on, church. Don't matter what you buy now. It's like 2 months. It's gone. It's over. It's out. It's old. I remember when I was a kid, man, you'd open something. It's oh, this is what I wanted. Every single, for years, like 9 years straight, I broke it in 2 days, man. Every single year. Come on, church. How many of y'all bought some, you know, that special something for your special somebody, and they open it and they go, ah, that's nice. Right? I'll tell a little story. My wife, she's so amazing. For our 10th wedding anniversary, I bought her a pair of diamond earrings. Nice ones. I don't make lots of money, so they were nice according to how much money I make. She opened them up and she was like, "Eh." I was like, "All right, let's just take them back because you obviously don't like them, you know." She's like, "No, I like them." I'm like, "No, you don't. That's fine." I didn't realize she never wore earrings ever. 10 years we were married, never realized she did not wear earrings. And we're still married 20 years now, praise God. Can I get amen? All right. My point is, church, we get so stressed. I am done. Done. If Missy didn't buy Christmas presents, nobody would be getting nothing. All right. My dad used to take us out in January when all the stuff was on clearance. He goes, "Let's go to the store. What do you want? Just pick some out, Junior." You know? I'm like, "It's perfect." I'm like, "This is awesome, man. Pick whatever I want. It's half off," you know? So anyway, but you know what I mean, church? We kill ourselves, go into debt, all kinds of crazy stuff, trying to hold just the right perfect gift for it. Dude, come on, man. Like, goodness gracious, some people like that. I can't stand it. I am the world's worst gift giver. It's awful. I gave up. Here's money. Go buy something you want. Seriously. Dude, it's awful, right? So please hear me. I think you hear my heart, church. If you enjoy gift giving, like you're really good at that, man, go for it. Do it, right? Please hear what I'm saying. Just remember that that's not what this is about, right? Touch on the paganism just for a moment, right? I said last Sunday, I'm not personally a big Christmas lights guy. Like, I'd rather put them up in July and just unplug them. December 5th, we'll plug them in. You know, perfect. They're great, right? We don't have a Christmas tree this year. We're not against Christmas trees, right? But church, please just hear me. Here's part of the opinion part. Okay, I'm gonna look over here. But we had a couple of years ago. Somebody was like, "Well, Pastor, don't you know Christmas trees? They point to heaven, so they're pointing to Jesus." Bro, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Okay, come on, man. It's a tree. All right, Romans 1 says that all creation points to the glory of God. So, I mean, you can kind of link it in there if you want. But you know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to, if somebody doesn't know Jesus, they're not going to walk into your house, see your Christmas tree, and be like, "It's Jesus! Oh, my goodness, I want to get saved." Man, if you want to make a nice Christmas tree, please make it. We have some right here. My goodness gracious. But let's just call it what it is, man. It's a tree with lights on it. Can I get amen? By the way, if any of you get those weird candy cane things, it's a J for Jesus. Please stop. It's a candy cane, man. Come on. It's a candy cane. It's candy. I like candy canes, or I'm going to eat it. Jesus' name. I'm just talking about, like, you guys want your J for Jesus, just keep it at home. All right? Amen. My opinion. My opinion. Amen. My opinion. Here's the word the Lord's been giving me for like 2 weeks. I've been grinding on the sermon. I was like, Lord, I don't want to preach this. I want to preach something nice. My wife told me last night. I told her I was going to preach. She's like, be nice. I was like, I'm always nice. And she goes, be nice. Nostalgia. It's a word I've been hearing in my spirit for a couple of weeks. Nostalgia. Nostalgia, this is what it means. I kind of know what it means, but here's the dictionary. A wistful desire to return in thought or in fact to a former time in one's life, to one's home or homeland, or to one's family and friends. A sentimental yearning for the happiness of a former place or time. Nostalgia. I think church in general, the body of Christ, especially in America, has gotten too caught up in nostalgia. Some of you have been in moves of God. You got some gray hairs. You've seen some real moves of God. And man, I'm glad I don't hear about this anymore. But for years I'd hear, oh man, I can't wait till I wish we could just go back to the Brownsville revival. Over. It's over. God ain't going back. He doesn't go backwards. Man, I really wish the Toronto blessing could happen again. It's not going to. Can I get amen? Church, we do the same thing at the holidays. Oh, remember that time at great grandma's house with those cookies? Ran, ran, ran. Oh, it's so beautiful. I miss great grandma. Ah! Oh my gosh, I'm trying not to be sarcastic. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Look, this is a time, church, when hope penetrated darkness. Hope. 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 Hope came to earth. Not flaky hope. I hope I get a new job. No. Hope that overcomes despair. Hope that crushes depression. Hope that is unshakable. Hope came to earth. Is that all right? I think we're too caught up, church, in all the warm and fuzzy stuff at Christmas. Ready? Here's the list. Our house, look, on Friday, we have Christmas breakfast. We eat the same thing every year. Missy buys these Italian loaves of bread and, like, cuts them, like, thick like this and makes this French toast thing with, like, pecans on it and maple stuff, and there's a million calories in it. I eat all the whole thing for sure. Bacon. We have special coffee. We make it only on Christmas morning. Only on Christmas morning we make this special coffee, man. I don't know. I'm like, why do we make this every day? This is ridiculously good. Dude. But it's got like orange peel shavings in it. Like the orange rind. I don't even know you put that in coffee, right? Church, we got our Christmas breakfast. We've got our Christmas coffee, our Christmas jammies. Yes, I have Christmas jammies. I do. All right, we got all of our Christmas stuff, man, right? The lights, the tree, Santa. Oh, my goodness, please. Elves, Frosty the Snowman. What on earth has Frosty the Snowman got to do with Christmas time? Are there any little kids in here? All right, I'm just going to tell you this. Look at church, please. This is serious right here, all right? Santa Claus. We don't do Santa in my house. You do Santa, knock yourself out. But I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me, right? Me. He said, son, this is when my big girls were little, right? He said, son, so you're going to tell your kids to believe in a big fat guy in a red suit that comes down the chimney, eats all the cookies, and leaves them presents under a tree, and flies around in a sleigh with reindeer on the front with one of them's got a nose that glows red that they're never going to see. They're never going to see this guy except at the mall because that guy ain't got nothing else to do. Can I get amen? He says at some point they're going to figure out that it's not real, but then you're going to tell them to believe in this Jesus who they're never going to see. And he's going to say, well, and in their minds, in the back of their minds, they're going to say, well, you told me that Santa Claus is real, never saw him, and he ain't real. So now why should I believe this Jesus stuff you tell me? He says, if you want them to believe in one thing that they're never going to see, make sure it's worth it. If you want them to believe in one thing that they're never, ever going to see, make sure it's worth it. We don't do Easter bunnies at our house. We don't do none of that garbage. We buy candy. I like candy. Come on, church. Go to CVS like around Easter time, and those Reese's peanut butter eggs are nectar straight from heaven. All right, I don't know where to get that stuff from. I'm telling you what, man, there's an angel who delivers that stuff, man, because I'm just like, yo, it's like Reese's peanut butter cups, but it's an egg. It tastes better. I don't know what's in it, but got to be something illegal in that thing, man, because you eat one and you're like, I need another. You start shaking. I need another one of those. There's withdrawal symptoms. It's terrible. It's the truth, man. Look, at least this is rough math, but at least half of Christmas songs have nothing to do with Christmas on Christian radio stations. I don't even listen. I can't even listen to them this time of year. Turn them off. Can't stand it. Let us know, let us know, let us know. I guess they don't got Christmas in Jamaica. Don't snow down there. I don't know. Dude, it's not a Christmas song. It's a winter song. That's fine. Cool. Can I get amen? Is this all right? Walking in a winter wonderland. What's that got to do with Jesus? Silver bells, sleigh bells, snow, sleds, presents, mistletoe, stockings, mommy smooching with Santa. That's a jacked up song, man. Isn't it? Here's my point, church. How many of us listen to this stuff and it doesn't even register? We're singing along. Man, we have been distracted. We've been distracted. We don't even know it because it's innocent. It's innocent. It's innocent. It's fun. You know, amen. I like having fun, man. Some of you new, you get to know me. I like having fun. Some of y'all been around me a long time. I like having fun, man. I like goofing around and cool. But my goodness, when it comes to the gospel, we got to be, this is what's supposed to change the world. Right? Galatians 4, a couple of scriptures here. Listen how Paul describes what happened. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he, Jesus, might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Church, that's what happened on Christmas. Jesus came not only to pay for our sins, but to open up the way for us to be reconciled to God, to become sons and daughters of God. Verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Church, nothing changed my life. Shouldn't say that. The day I got saved, but then the second most powerful thing that's ever happened to me is when I realized that I was a son of God. That God chose me. He adopted me. Absolutely rocked my world. Can I get amen? Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Meaning, whatever God has is mine. I'm an heir. Is that all right? We got Facebook and social media blowing up with pictures of baby Jesus in a manger. You know, people say, have you ever seen, people ask me, you ever watched that movie? Oh my gosh, I haven't seen it. What's the one with where they're driving stock cars, but it's like a spoof? I can't remember what that one's called. Talladega Nights? Is that what it is? With Will Ferrell? There's one reason I won't watch that movie. Because when he prays for dinner, he goes, oh, dear sweet baby Jesus. Church, I'm just sorry. For me personally, I can't watch the movies where they make fun of people praying. Can't do it. Can't do it. I don't know. That just rubs me the wrong way real bad. Making fun of that, dude, that's the Messiah. I don't care. Make fun of it all you want. I'm not going to watch that as entertainment. That's just me. See, we've made this season to be so, like, here's my word, nostalgic, sentimental, warm and fuzzy, right? I hope you're hearing what I'm saying to you today. I hope I'm challenging you, but not like unnecessarily. You know what I mean? Right? Let me give you a couple more thoughts here. I'm actually moving quickly-ish, kind of more so than less. Again, we drove up to something in Granby last weekend. It was like a drive-through nativity, which wasn't really worth the gas to drive up there, because literally we drove through it and it was 4 seconds and I drove through it. I was like, well, that's it? Like, where's the rest of this stuff? We drove around and went through it again just to make sure we didn't miss it. You know what I mean? I was like, hey, is that church? Hey, man, bless you guys. It was nasty, raining, disgusting. I was like, man, they were all sad, man. Bless you guys. Merry Christmas. Right? But we see this stuff, and it's like, are we really paying attention? And what I wanted to say to you next level of this thing is here, right? We think about our family traditions. We think about, and we talk a lot about this, the phrases as the joy of the season. How many people have heard that in the last month? Oh, the joy of the season. Isn't it such a nice season? My beloved, I'm seeing Christians, people that I know that I respect, posting things on social media saying, I'm spreading the joy of Christmas, and they're putting pictures of Christmas ornaments up, spreading some joy. That's a Christmas ornament. It ain't no joy. Maybe you enjoyed putting that up. That's fine. The Spirit of God said to me the other day, he said, son, we need to start making the distinction again in the body of Christ between enjoying something and getting joy from something. Do you hear me, church? Enjoying something versus trying to pull joy out of something. See, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The joy, love, joy, peace. Oh, I just need to go walk in the woods and spend time with Jesus. Cool. Cool. I don't personally spend time with Jesus in the woods. I just walk. You know what I mean? But like, if that's your place with Jesus, cool. But remember, the woods is not your peace. The Spirit of God is your peace. And if that's your secret place, go for it. Just preached on the secret place a couple weeks ago, man. Cool. We had a friend of mine. He'd go down to the beach. That was his. He liked to go to the beach and talk to the Lord. Cool, man. But the beach is not your place of peace. Enjoy the beach. Have a good time down there. But peace is from the Lord. Joy is from God. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at what he says here. I love this. This is a letter from Paul to Timothy, who's a young pastor, and this is what he says, verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Everybody say, but on God. Right? How many people got a little money in the bank? I do. Somebody's like, nope, not me over here. Nope. I didn't say I got a lot. I got a little bit. Right? But church, look, it doesn't matter how much money you got. Anybody ever had you figure like, man, I'm set. Look how much money I got saved up. And then something happens and it's all gone? 100 times, 1,000 times, million times, going to happen again. I figured out now how much money I got saved up in the savings account is like, I'm going to need exactly that much money at some point. Oh, whatever. I don't even care anymore. I'm a good steward. I save money, and I'm like, at some point, I'm going to have exactly how much I need to fix the car or put a new, my water heater died last Sunday. Got home from church, my water heater's leaking all over the basement. Praise God! Dude. I'm like, whatever. I don't even care. Is that all right? Look it. Not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Look at what he says, though. Who richly supplies us with all things to, what's the word, church? Say it loud. Enjoy. Isn't that so good? He says, look at how much money you got in the bank should not dictate whether or not you enjoy your life. You should fix your eyes on God, who richly supplies you all things to enjoy. Church, I am 23 years in this walk, and man, I am living a life that I never thought I would live. I don't own most of my stuff, and I say, praise God, man. I got a lake house to go to. It ain't mine. Good. When it breaks, I ain't got to fix it. I go up there and like I plowed the driveway. I've snowblowed their driveway at my parents' lake house, right? You know, I prophesied over years ago when I got ordained. This prophet said, the Lord's going to bless you. You're going to receive an abundance because you have turned away from materialism. I'll bring upon you more than you ever could have gotten doing anything else, the Lord said. I'm like, you know what? We don't own this building. We rent it. I kind of like that. Because guess what? When the rooftop heater dies for $25,000, I call the landlord and say, hey, you got to fix this rooftop heater. How many people like that better than me saying, hey, church, we need to take a big offering today? Right. I mean, people, young folks are like, I want to buy a house. I'm like, back up, junior. You ain't ready. Right? Is that all right, church? See, the thing is, God wants you to enjoy your life. Somebody should have said amen. That's true. Look at what he says. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure. Look at what he says. I didn't even know this was in there. I honestly didn't. I looked this up. The treasure of a what? Good foundation. For the future, look, y'all thought I was taking a break from the Sermon on the Mount, and look, I snuck one in on you. Sermon on the Mount, the promise at the end is what? If you do these words, listen to these words of mine, do them, you will be what? A wise man who builds his house on a rock, on a good foundation. Paul's telling Timothy the same thing here. You will build for yourselves, storing up for yourselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Church, I can't tell you how many folks get through the Christmas season. They got their house full of lights and Christmas trees everywhere and wreaths and candy and all this stuff, and it's all done and they feel empty. December 26th, they're like, oh, dude, what? Look, God has blessed me, man. I got toys. I got stuff I like to play with in the summer. But you know what? If all that stuff blew up tomorrow, all right. It's not my joy. I enjoy it. I enjoy lots of things. The Greek word here means to partake, to enjoy, to partake of, to taste of, to enjoy, right? Paul's going on, look at the difference between enjoying something and something bringing us joy. Like, I enjoy many things. I enjoy golfing. I enjoy going to the lake. I enjoy Little City Pizza. I enjoy the holidays. I enjoy the holidays. I enjoy going to Thanksgiving, man. I like Thanksgiving. Dude, my wife made this sweet potato thing on Thanksgiving this year. Oh, my goodness. I was like, I don't even need pie. This pie's on my plate already. I don't even know what's in this, but it's good. Right? I enjoy the holidays. I enjoy spending time with my family. I enjoy eating too much food. Stuffed mushrooms. If anybody makes good stuffed mushrooms, my address is 373 East Hill Road in Canton. You can drop them off anytime. Just let me know. I enjoy a good movie. I do not enjoy reading books. Books are from the devil. I enjoy a beautiful sunrise or sunset. I enjoy my wife and my kids. I enjoy waterfalls. I enjoy music. But do any of those things, my beloved, make me joyful? No. Because there's only one thing that makes me joyful. And is that I'm a son of God. And that the only reason I'm a son of God is because what we're celebrating this time of year is because Jesus came, took my place, paid for my adoption. Can I get an amen? Luke chapter 2, almost done. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them in the glory, talking about the shepherds, right, out taking care of their sheep. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Church, do you know, just side note, there's not a time I found yet in the Bible where an angel manifested himself, and everybody was like, wow, this is so cool. We should just stay here all day. Every single time an angel shows up, people are like, we're going to die. Every time. Every single time. We're going to die. How terrifying is an angel that people think we're going to die? I love people say, oh, I've got this cute little angel hanging on my rearview mirror. That's not an angel. That's a trinket you bought at the gas station. Angels are messengers of God, bringing the messages of God to earth, and they fight demons. Can I get amen? Powerful, huge, powerful beings, wings, and all kinds of crazy things. But the angel said to them, verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you, look, church, good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. My beloved, can I challenge you, as we've already been challenged this morning, is Jesus enough for you to live in a perpetual state of joy? I have a Savior. A Savior has been born for you. That's all I need. Everything else is frosting on the cake, man. Everything else is gravy. If it's going the way I like it to go, great. If it's not, it's all right. It'll turn around. Is Jesus enough? I love our new brother. He said, yes, I love it, man. Praise God. One more section of scripture here. John chapter 1. Let's turn there. We're done. Man, I did pretty good. This is going to be like, you know, this sermon's less than an hour. It's pretty solid. John chapter 1. Most of us know this, but I want to, actually, two more passages of scripture. I lied. It's not one, two. There's two. But look at this, church. We don't normally associate this with like Christmas, but look at what he says here. In the beginning, let's all say it together. Most of us probably know this one, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Let me guess, little side note here. Did the devil come into being? Yes, the devil came into being. He was created. He's not omnipotent. He's not eternal. He's not omniscient. He's not everywhere all the time. He's not all powerful. He's not all knowing. He's not all seeing. He was created, and my Bible says that everything that was created through him and for him. Oh, afraid of the devil. Then you've got the wrong view of the devil. Can I get amen? In him, verse 4, was life. Ooh. In him was life. In who? Well, he's still called the Word now, though. In the Word was life. Pastor, I got to read my Bible, because in the Bible there's life. Amen. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The Greek word there actually means overcome it. Church, I'm going to tell you, there's some movies that I've seen in some of these movies, like darkness, it's like darkness creeps in on light. Hollywood's got this nice way of twisting stuff where darkness like overpowers light. That's a lie. It's a lie. Walk into a dark room, flip a light switch on. Where's the darkness go? Gone. So we know that naturally. Think of it spiritually. If, as our brother commissioned us this morning after worship, right, if I am not the light of the world and I walk into some place that is spiritually dark, where's the darkness got to go? It's got to go. It's got to go. I don't got to say a word. I'm coming in and I am light. Is that all right? Pastor, I feel kind of weird going somewhere. Then walk in there with authority. You don't got to say a word. There came a man sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him, lowercase h, right, through John the Baptist, right? He, John the Baptist, was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Church, that's actually one of the best verses in that entire thing. He's talking about Jesus came to the Jews rejected him. You know why that's good? Because the Jews rejecting Jesus opened up the gospel to all the rest of us. That's what the Bible tells us. Read through the book of Romans. He says, because the Jews rejected Jesus, the gospel was released onto everyone else. Amen. As many as received him, verse 12, he gave them the right. Everybody say right. right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Is he talking about legally in verse 12 or relationally? Relationally, right? Because you get saved legally, you're adopted. It's learning to walk in that adoption, right? The right to become a son. Verse 13, all who believe in his name, who are born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Church, I'll stop right here. You can read my notes. Pretty much all of you on my email distribution. Send my notes. I can read the rest. There's not that much more there. But look it. Imagine if we looked at Christmas time every year, Christmas, the season of Christmas. Again, cookies, lights, trees, wreaths, whatever. Fine. Whatever you do in your family, cool. Please hear my heart. Like if that's what, if you guys enjoy that, go for it. I don't think God's upset with that. Are we realizing that this is the time we're celebrating grace and truth coming to earth? The Word from the beginning of creation, all things were created through him, took on flesh, became Jesus. The Word hung on a cross. The Word was beaten. The Word died. The Word came back again. Right? We talked about last Sunday in our small group, Paul, this guy's the pastor's quoting Paul. Paul says, if we have hope in Jesus Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Church, our culture is so close to just driving off a cliff at 100 miles an hour. The church, we got to stand up and rise up, man. Not in all the frilly stuff and all this is so nice, that hot cocoa was yummy. I like some good hot cocoa, man, all right? But hot cocoa ain't going to help nobody. Some real hope right here. I've got truth. I've got hope. I've got joy. Nothing can shake it. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Was this all right? Was I nice enough? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I don't think there's anything wrong with nostalgia. It's nice to remember things of old and nice to have fond memories of days gone by. But Lord, I pray that we'd file those things in the right place. Let's remember great-grandma or remember whatever. As some of us, maybe this is our first Christmas. Someone's gone. A little nostalgia right there is perfectly fine. Remember those people and shed a tear or two or laugh or tell a joke about them or something. But God, when it comes to the kingdom, we need to move forward. We need to have that river of living water flowing out of our innermost being, God. That river of water that goes and carves its own path, God. That river of living water, oh God, that brings life to dead things, Father. That Lord, that changes atmospheres and changes climates, God. We want to be those people, Father, who are walking into a place that is full of evil and darkness and despair, and it instantly shifts because I walked in. That's who I am. I'm thinking of Jesus coming off the boat when he crosses over. And if I remember that story properly, the man runs out of the tombs. Jesus doesn't say a word to that guy. If I remember that story, he recognizes who Jesus was. Oh, Son of Man, have you come to torment us before the time? Father, we pray tonight, today, this afternoon, whatever time it is, that God, we right now, we go home, we ponder what has gone on this morning, God. And we let our hearts cry, be, I want that. I want to live a life where people walk up to me and say, man, you must be a Christian. Not because we're doing something weird, not because we dress a certain way, because we are carrying the glory of heaven. It's shining out of us, God. So, Lord, we love you this morning. We pray for everyone on Facebook and YouTube, Lord God. We pray that if we don't see any of you that we don't see before Friday, we ask that you'd have a merry, merry Christmas, that you'd enjoy your family, enjoy your loved ones, enjoy the time. If it's a time that's difficult, I pray that something was spoken today, that you turn your eyes to the Lord, turn your eyes to heaven. Yeah, this is a hard time for me. Emotionally, it's difficult, but I have joy. I have hope. I have peace. I have the comfort of the Holy Ghost living in me. Lord, I pray that this Christmas is a different one than we've ever had. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Guys, Merry Christmas. Have an awesome week. Wednesday night prayer, Thursday night, 7 o'clock service. We'll be here. Love to see all of y'all one more time before the official big day. Amen.